Okay, so it's a great pleasure to have Francois Pacelli with us today. He is a member of the Cour Normale Supérieure and INRIA. And he has extensive work in probability, network, information theory, queuing, a bunch of recognitions and prizes for his work. He's a member of the French Academy of Sciences. And oh, you didn't put your title. That's good. No. I have it. Talk today on phase transition, stochastic network dynamics. You know, most of the time, you repeat the title.
So, thank you, Luis. Great pleasure to be here. Can you hear me? Yeah. Right.
No, it's okay.
It's okay. Good. So. When I was discussing with Bill about the topics of this lecture, one of the outcomes of discussion is that it would be nice to define what network science would be. And so it was very broad, so network science for past, present, and future. And so I decided not to do that, and with an agreement with Bill, came with something more focused on actually stochastic network dynamics. I will first, cover a thread of research on stochastic stability. This joint work with my colleague Sergei Foss in Edinburgh. So the second part will extend part of that to wireless routing, and I will conclude with some future research directions. So, but first I will define what this branch of network science, which is called stochastic networks, and because there are many incarnations and many ways of understanding that. So this is about, the initial framework became popular in the 70s, although the roots are much earlier, in the 60s. About in terms of queuing networks. And so this is about the dynamics of information in networks. So it could be dynamics of a packet in the internet, or dynamics of frames in the wireless networks. But it has many other applications, the dynamic of jobs in the multiprocessor computer architecture, vehicles in traffic, and so on. So today, especially in theoretical computer science, there are a lot of incarnations of this formalism, extensions, I would say, which are a bit more precise in terms of for manipulating these objects. And I would quote stochastic Petri nets, stochastic hybrid systems, stochastic process algebras, and so on. So there are many of those, and they are very instrumental in many fields of science. The thing to answer Bill's initial question, I think. Especially through the work of Kleinrock and Kelly and others, this is a very fundamental part of what network science is all about, because this is really what people have used to design a lot of very important systems. And this is a stochastic in nature, because you don't know how the users will act, you don't know. There are, of course, many other things which have stochastics and connections with network science. I would quote, random graphs or stochastic geometry, which I alluded to in my lecture last time. But this time I want to focus on this branch of activity, which is present everywhere. I mean, these things are used in a variety of departments and have a very important mathematical roots, which have been studied in the last 40 years or so. So I will describe one of these mathematical approach to stochastic network dynamics, which is that in terms of what we call homogeneous monotone maps. And I will start with, work that we did with Sergei in early work that we did on the matter, and this will be for finite dimensional systems. And the new work, which I will describe, is ongoing work with him on infinite dimensional systems, which are close to particle system in a sense, as you will see. So think of a map from RK to itself, which enjoys some monotonicity property. So coordinate-wise, if x is less than x prime, phi of x is less than phi of x prime, and which is homogeneous. So if you add to x the vector with all coordinates are lambda, then you can pull out the lambda times 1, and this is equal to lambda times 1 plus phi of x. Okay. So this looks, and so I will give examples, of course, of this. This is a very, very strong property. And so actually, for instance, some of you might be familiar with to see how general and these objects are. So, I mean, for a given homogeneous map, monotonicity is equivalent to non-expansiveness for the supremum norm, which is a theorem due to Crandall and Tartar. Okay? So, you can, I mean, most of the things I will say here have other formulations where you would be interested in monotonic non-expansive maps of some kind. Okay, so there are various extensions, and so in the same way as one speaks of a linear form, I will look, for instance, at functions from Rk or even R infinity to R, which satisfy the two properties of monotonicity and homogeneity. And actually, this is the basic framework for representing various classes of networks and the dynamics of objects in these networks. And so this goes like that. We will look at a point process, which will typically be the input point process in some dynamical systems, discrete event dynamical systems. Okay, so this N will be the point process, and I will look at a certain family of functions which depend on two integers, M less than N, which is a family of homogeneous monotone forms of N. And these ZMN functions will have the specific properties that ZMN only depends, a random function, but it only depends on the points of the point process from the M's to the M's. Okay, this is a point process on the line, so you can order points, and you take the restriction of the point process from M to its M's to the N's point. Okay, and think of ZMN to be the response of the system you look at when you your input is restricted to this impulse from M to N's point. Okay. And so what you require is that this function, each of these object seen as a function of these points, is HM form. Okay. So namely, it's monotonic and homogeneous. Okay. So if you push all points of the point process by C, shift the point process, then actually it's like looking at the response of the system not shifted and adding C. And the monotonicity, if you shift the dates of the point process, the epochs of the point process, then to the right, then this response of the system to any excitation from M to N is also shifted to the right. So We will play with backward construction, so M can take negative values, and the point process usually will take the first point to the right to be zero. Yes, please.
So, I'll skip the question.
N is a point process on the real line, and any point process I represent as a sum of Dirac's at epochs Tn, and the first epoch on the, say, so let's say, I order the points in some way. This is my point process, and there will be Tn, Tn plus 1, and so forth. Okay, they may be that some of them are identical. Okay, so the point process can be seen either as the collection of points Tn, or as often as the sum of Dirac measures at the point Tn. Okay, so I will take this view, because it's a vector of real valued. Here, yes, today it's it will be, a bit later, perhaps at the end of the lecture, I might discuss other point processes, but here's on the line, okay? Okay, so, and what is this Z function? Think of it, and we'll give examples soon. This is the time of last activity in the network. If I input in the network this MN restriction of the point process, okay? And so it will be an epoch. Belongs to R. Okay. So the next assumption is stationarity. So we have a family of HM maps. Okay. And the MN's map is only a function of TMTN. And then I look at what is the I look at TN, the last event. And I look at the residual from Tn on of the activity of the network. That I call Wn. So Wn is just Zmn minus Tn. Okay. And so what I require is that Wmn has the same law for all mn's, such that the difference n minus m is equal to an integer p, which is positive or zero. Okay. This is just stationarity. So if I look at the response of the system to five successive inputs, the point process being stationary under the Palm version of it, looking at the first input points or from the 5 to the 10s will be stationary, have the same law. And you require that these random functions have the same law. Okay? W is like workload. So in many queuing systems, this would be, if you would stop the input at time n, that would be the residual activity for emptying the system. Whatever emptying means. Right now, I mean, it's just a word. And the last, but essential property, is separation. So let me phrase it like that. Assume that the point TL plus 1 happens after the system fed by the restriction ML of the point process. Okay? If TL is more than this time of last activity of the system for the ML input, then Zmn of n is Zl plus 1 of n. So think of it as a purely pathwise analog of regeneration. Okay, so if the system would empty, we will not require it does, but functionally, it will be in the state where it would forget its memory. Okay, and we will have this assumption. So this is essential. As soon as we shall see this fails, the whole framework fails. Examples. Departure times in the GG1Q, FIFO-Q. So think of N to be the arrival point process with points Tn. I look at the interarrival times and denote them by tau n. Okay? And the nth point brings a service time, service requirement sigma n. And it is well known that Zmn, so which is exactly here the time to empty the system of any customer, if I only look at the arrivals from time tm to time tn, admits this max plus representation. So I look at all possible busy periods from time k or tk. I would add the service times of these customers from time k to time n on, and the supremum of all these quantities is the time at which a system will empty. Okay. So that Wmn admits the representation of being sigma n plus again busy period interpretation. So the sum of the sigmas minus tau, okay, from k to n minus 1. And you see that W, because of, we assume here the stationarity of the sigmas and the taus, they form a jointly stationary, possibly ergodic sequence, but we don't need ergodicity there. You see in this quantity that, I mean, W m plus 1 n plus 1 has the same law as W m n. Okay, so stationarity is granted. P, where is P here? So it was for all P, for all P. Okay, so what's the connection between dynamics? So of course, I mean, this is doing with dynamics. So, and let me describe visually what this dynamic is all about. So most people would look at this dynamic in terms of number of customers. Whereas here we'll have an algebra and a representation of the epochs at which event occur. And this makes the whole difference, okay? So most people, rather than looking at that, which is the thing, the recursion, which gives the successive, say, departure times from this queue, would look at an object like that, which we call the Petri net, which has transitions are these bars, and places. Places are like reservoirs, and transitions are synchronizers. So this reads like that. Look at this bar. So the nth event in this of the type D, or the n plus first, takes care at the supremum of two dates, the date Tn plus 1, which is this point, this input transition. And here I have this token, so I have a shift in the time. So max of Tn plus 1 and Dn, okay? This is plus sigma n plus 1. And sigma n plus 1 is something hidden in this transition D. So this is the random thing. And so you can view this. So these are synchronizers, okay? So for this transition will consume tokens when there are tokens in these two places and produce and remove one token from each place upstream and put a token in the place downstream. Place is this disk, okay? So it leads to a dynamic like this one. If you put here an input point process and random times here, this is the basic queue, which looks like this. So for instance, the only thing which can happen is an arrival. This one produces a token here, okay? And then perhaps there is again an arrival, and perhaps a third one. And then what happens is that one token will be consumed here and one here. There will be a departure. Another departure, the queue will empty, then the only thing that may happen is an arrival, and so on. And you get a dynamic of this type. And most people would study this type of dynamics, make it Markov if you have ID assumptions, and study the steady state of that and extend that to networks. And this is the archetype, the mother of all network dynamics, is this very simple object. Okay. So, and we have seen that actually it can be seen as a Markov chain, but it is also a family of HM maps, which actually has all the desired properties. It separates when the queue is empty. I mean, you can forget what has happened earlier. And at this time, L plus 1, you start a new excursion, and you kind of forget what was happening. It's trajectorial. It's pathwise. Okay, these are properties of trajectories. Actually, any iterates of random HM maps has the same property. Let's phi n be a stationary sequence of HM maps from, say, now RK plus 1 to RK. So the input is as above, and now you add a state. And this state is not the Markov state, which would give anything connected to what we have seen in the earlier pictures. The state is just a vector of RK. And the basic recursion is that you say that xn plus 1 is phi n, this random HM map, from tn, which is a real number, and xn, which is a vector dimension k. And this phi n, each of them is an HM map. And so it sends, of course, to have something consistent, RK plus 1 to RK. And then you do the following to define the time of last activity, the Z processes or Z functions, Z forms, from time M to time N. You start taking an initial condition, which is Tm times 1. So you start with the state vector X M to be TM everywhere, okay? Or this initial condition. And then you take phi M of TM and TM and that, and then you go on iterating. This gives a new vector. You apply phi M minus 1, M plus 1 of TM plus 1 and that, and so on. You compose the phi functions. Okay, so it's clear that it's homogeneous. Okay, think of shifting all the t's by c by the homogeneity of all the phi's it will pull out. It is monotonic by composition of monotonic functions. And it is clearly stationary, again using the homogeneity. And the only thing which matters is separation, and separation holds if and only if, is separable if we have the property that if x is less than t times 1, then phi of tx is equal to a phi of t times 1. Okay, it's a sufficient condition. Okay, so this is the first interesting example, which is of iterates of random HM maps, which is any finite dimensional non-autonomous max plus linear system. So we'll define what these systems are in a second, but mathematically they are expressed in this form. The function phi n of tn, an arrival time, and xn, a vector, is the product in the max plus algebra of an, which is a given matrix, square matrix of dimension k, times xn, plus, and it's again a plus in the max plus algebra, the product bn times tn, where bn is a vector. Okay? So, what does it mean? So, first, without understanding what we are doing here in terms of the physics of it, it's easy to see that. I should say a few words on the max plus algebra before going on. So, you take first the scalars. So you take the real line, possibly you are just interested in the positive part of the real line, to which you add minus infinity, that you call epsilon. Okay, and you undo that with two operations, the max, which plays the role of addition, which makes of this R max, which plus is a commutative idempotent semigroup, and with the multiplication, which is the usual addition, which has natural element E, zero. Okay. So the key thing is that the multiplication distributes, the sum distributes over max. Okay, so it makes out of that a good algebraic structure that you can extend to a semi-ring of matrices. So you can use the usual extension. You take two matrices with entries in the above structure. For instance, say arbitrary matrices, you define the square matrices if you want. You define the sum by the of these matrices as the term by term sum, and the product by usual rule. And the entry ij of A times B is the sum over k of Aik times Bkj. Okay. And so it's quite easy to see that phi of x, which is multiplication by x, is monotone, okay? Because the max and the sum preserve natural monotonicity property, and it's a linear structure in this algebra, and actually what homogeneity is just the fact that phi of the real number lambda multiplied by the vector x is just lambda times phi of x. So what we call homogeneity is just the here we have much more, but we don't always have that for any HM map, but for multiplication by a positive by a matrix in this algebra, whatever, is homogeneous. So it's homogeneous, monotone, therefore the framework applies. Yeah. So here, any. Phi of x is 8, and A is any matrix in this algebra. So you can... So if you... No. Multiplication is the sum.
Okay. Yeah.
okay?
And the addition is the max.
And that's the only way to, I mean, this structure is very important. It was popularized through all this tropical analysis. So it's, and that's the, it looks odd first, but it's, that's the one which works, okay? So, and monotony homogeneity follow immediately, okay? Good. So any, let me, what do these objects, so think of any matrix. So take this one, why not? An, okay? So you encode from that, you build an object which is like the one that we described earlier, okay? So we had a Q, now we have something a bit more complex. We have something where you see you have a Q here, you have a Q here, the first Q feeds the second, and we have this feedback mechanism which is called a window flow control, which is the basis of a lot of mechanism used in the internet, okay? And you see there are three tokens there. So in order for a packet, let's say, take this internet viewpoint, to enter the first router, you need one of the tokens to be available up there, okay? And you see the packet's progressing, but it will consume tokens. So the number of packets or tokens that you find in this loop will be constant, always equal to 3. And this is the window flow control. So you'd see packets progressing in the network from node to node and being blocked when there is too much crowd, more than 3 here, in these queues. And think of what we animated, of packets progressing here and there, feeding and the buffers in front of these servers in a random way. And this is dynamics that we have. And this dynamics is HM. It satisfies all the properties, and all what I will say now about stability holds. So, last example before I give the results is generalized Jackson networks with finitely many stations. So, I add a new mechanism, so you recognize the queues here, and this mechanism is called routing. Okay, so now some places may have many outputs. And here I put a set of routing decisions, which I call new. Okay, in this place there is this sequence display zero, new zero K. Okay, and this sequence gives the routing decision. So the kth token that enters here, if new zero K has value 2, will go there. So for instance, we'll flip coins and send tokens in a given direction, and this gives a dynamic where you would see customers coming, accumulating there, then being served. And then there are decisions, either they leave, or perhaps they come back to this queue, or they leave and go to another queue, and so forth. Okay? This is a Jackson network. All these objects, so this one has the same property, the ZMN function, which is the time of last activity in the network, when the last one starts empty at time tm, and is fed by the MN restriction, is also HM. But not reducible to iterates of HM maps. Yeah. It has a mean max plus representation and not just a max plus one of the epoch TN. Okay, so what are the results? The first result is that for any object in this class, you have a notion that we call backward monotonicity. So it says the following. It says that think now of n being fixed, and you look at the m variable, which is the past. And you are going to extend the past by putting more and more, like one does in ergodic theory or in the coupling from the past of the Prop and Wilson algorithm. Okay? So then this is monotonic. Adding more events in the past just increase the either absolute time at which a system empties at time n is fixed, or the residual waiting time to empty the system from the last activity. And I will give no proofs, but just this one to show you that, I mean, this there is nothing. So you just play with the very few assumptions that we took. So first, so look at n and n prime. So you see the point process, like the one we got here, and the point m minus 1, I will shift it to the left of a quantity which is the activity. Of the m minus first point. Okay, so if you would just add the m minus first point, I would have an activity with a duration Zmn m minus 1, m minus 1. So since I'm looking just at the Mn process, and the Mn process is a restriction of from m to n, what happens to n minus 1 doesn't matter. And so this is equal to Zn is equal to Zn prime, capital N prime. Okay. Now, I observe that because of separation, I mean, this n minus first point, because it is separated, I mean, I can just add it. It doesn't change anything because of separation. This is 5. And now I use monotonicity. What has happened is I've moved some points in the past. Okay? Therefore, by monotonicity, what I have done is that this residual time have only become smaller than what they are in the other system. And when you read that, you get the backward monotonicity. When you subtract the last time, which is very important, TM, you get the internal backward monotonicity. The waiting times increase when you add more past. Okay, so you have by the same rules, I won't do that twice, you get the key thing, which is subadditivity. So any network which falls in this monotone separable framework is such that if you look at the activity of the network, and you look at the time to empty the network when you from time tn, when you look at the Mn restriction of the network, it will be less than the sum of WML plus WL plus 1 n. Okay? And so key here is again separation and monotonicity. So once you have that, you have the main result, the main stability phase transition. So because of subadditivity, if you put the ergodicity assumptions plus integrability conditions, you get that for any scaling, so I take a multiplicative scaling in the usual sense of the point process, that there exists a limit, almost surely, and in L1, of the ratio W minus N, so I add more and more past 0 of Cn divided by N, that I call gamma of C. And the main result is that if lambda gamma of 0 is less than 1, then this backward construction converges almost surely to a finite limit, which can be shown to be a steady state of the system. So I will explain that a bit later. And that if you are on the other side of that, then this backward construction converges almost surely to infinity. So the first comment is that there is natural interpretation of that. What is gamma of zero? This is the response of the system. So gamma of zero is what? Zero times n, all points arrive at zero. So I look at, for instance, the W minus n zero of zero times n. What is this? This is the time to empty the system. If I put an impulse, which is a sum of n plus one deltas, at time zero. So I saturate the system by putting a big input of size n, or n plus 1, who cares? And I look at the time at which this empties. And because of subadditive ergodic theorem, Kingman subadditive ergodic theorem, this empties at a speed which is gamma naught. Okay? And so what this says is that the stability of the system is assessed by saturating it. What is saturating it? The system is clogged. There are many, many of these objects in the initial condition. And actually, it relaxes at this linear speed given by gamma naught. And the system has to cope with that. Even in this bad state, it should empty. So lambda gamma naught should be less than 1. Okay? This is the this is why we call that the saturation rule. So why is it interesting? First, because it gives more general results than the Markov techniques. It only relies on ergodic and stationary assumptions. And also, it gives a representation of the stability constraint. So the stability phase transition is given by gamma naught. And gamma naught, what is this? I will give a few examples in a second, but you can compute gamma naught in most of the examples that I've shown. And also, it gives you a way to construct, which is perhaps the most important thing, the steady state of the system, which is W minus infinity zero. And you have a view of what the steady state of this very complex dynamic is by not saying it takes place at infinity, But it takes place at zero, and you have pushed back the origin of time to minus infinity, as one does very often in ergodic theory, and you view it as this limit which exists because of monotonicity. And this is perhaps the deepest thing of this type of constructions. Okay, so people have so these ideas were started by Lorentz in the 60s. We computed gamma naught in the GG KQ as E sigma over K. For max plus linear system, there is a very simple thing. So actually, when you what only matters when you saturate the system, you see, I mean, the initial in the affine equation, you see only the product of the A showing up, and you have to see how this grows. It's a product of random matrices in the max plus algebra. Forget about the algebra and think of product of random matrices. You know that they grow, positive matrices, they grow according to exponentially fast, according to the Lyapunov exponent. The product of K matrices goes like gamma to the K. So what is this? It's gamma times K in this algebra. And gamma, what is this? It is a max plus Lyapunov exponent. And so all these very complex dynamics that we have played with in this few examples, but actually any family of matrices, any dynamics of these tokens would have a stability region given by a max plus Lyapunov exponent. Jackson network is obtained through maximal station load per arrival, and lately people have been interested in free choice nets, which mix in a much more general way synchronization and this routing. Bounded free choice net was studied by Haar and Meres lately, and people are using that to use on to study online packing currently. Okay, so what I want to go now is about the problems in infinite dimension. So, of course, I mean, all the assumptions that I made are necessary. I mean, you get counterexample as soon as you remove one of these assumptions. So if you lack monotonicity, like in reentrant lines, I mean, specialists around, then, of course, I mean, nobody even knows the stability region beyond a few nodes. If you have a lack of separation, you are dead, too. Here is a very simple example. So you have a computer that is needs to do a scalar product, and it needs there is a sequence of vectors that arrive for the first x and y. So the first instance x1 arrives at times t1 1 and so on. Okay, so t1 is the point process of arrivals of the x vectors, and t2 of the y vectors. And to do the scalar product, you have to take the two vectors and to multiply them. Okay. Okay. So assume that these arrivals take place as independent Poisson point processes. Then the saturation rule doesn't hold, as you see. So why? Assume you look at the system, and you have run the system, say, from time zero to time n. Okay. And you stop. Okay, you stop. You know, this time m. So you look at this. So what happens is that after a while, all pairs of points will have been consumed. But because of the fluctuation of the Poisson point process, there will be an excess of x or an excess of y. Okay, and when you stop the system, this sort of condition remains. The system has not forgotten its past, and when you resume it, what happens depends on this remaining state. Okay, so separation doesn't hold in this very simple example. And actually, the saturation rule doesn't work. Okay, so take two Poisson point processes of intensity lambda, try to assemble things. I mean, so if you look at what is the output from the saturated system, if it takes one to produce one of these product of two vectors, so you produce one product every unit of time. Okay? And it's always unstable, as you know, because of the fluctuation of the difference of two Poisson point processes, strong law of large number. The central limit theorem shows you that it will always explode. Okay, now look at extensions to infinite dimensional systems. So I will concentrate here. I will say a few words on the Jackson case, but I will concentrate on the max plus case. And this is ongoing work with Sergei Foss. So in that case, as we shall see, if you take a good system, namely Max Plus, we have monotonicity, but we will lack actually separation and even the possibility of playing with this, because the ZMN function will be infinity in most cases. For any even Z11 or Z00 will be infinity. I will give an example soon. And so the whole system breaks down. And so currently there is no general technique to handle any networks in the classes that I've said. And in building the fine ergodic theory construction which I have described. So this fine ergodic theory construction gives the sort of, so we construct a co-cycle of the point process, okay? In ergodic theory sense. And so this is really when we have understood the way the system works, is when you have been able to do that. Although, I mean, Markovian techniques and things like that are nice, but they are not as general, and they do not lead to the same type of understanding of the system. And so it's why it's very important to find general techniques. So currently, this is the where the methodology, which is general, doesn't work. Let me explain. This is the example we've been working out with Sergei. We call it Poisson hail on the hot ground. So forget all what you what you know, and think of hailstones that fall on the Euclidean plane. Okay, think of the Euclidean plane being hot, and you have the hailstone coming. And they come according to a Poisson rain. So what is Poisson rain? Take a Borel set of the Euclidean plane, take any Borel set of time, and in this product, any finite product, you find a number of points of the Poisson point, which is a Poisson distribution with an intensity, which is the product of the Lebesgue measure of the set times the Lebesgue measure of the interval. Okay? It's a Poisson rain of intensity lambda. Each Poisson arrivals, say at location x and time t, brings a customer with two characteristics. This is still queuing. There is a random closed set, a RAX C of RD, R2, the plane, center at the origin. This is the footprint of the hailstone. And there is a random surface sigma, which is the height of the hailstone. 1 meter hailstone with, with I don't know, I mean, a cubic or a circular footprint, okay? And this mark, C sigma of the point XT, has a given distribution, which is independent of everything else. So the service is as follows. These customers, actually the customer arriving at time T in location X with mark C sigma, so C is centered at the origin, will create a hailstone with footprints X plus C. Okay? So, and with 8 sigma. And the hailstone has to be melted by the plane in the FIFO order. If the footprints, it means the following, if the footprints of two hailstones have a non-empty intersection, then the one arriving second has to wait for the end of the melting or the service of the first to start its melting. Okay? We'll give a picture in a second if it's not clear. Once the service is started, the hailstone is on the ground, it melts at speed 1, and then leaves, is melted, okay? So this is a sort of picture. So it's a discrete time version of this dynamics. So this is time, and this is a discrete version that we have many discretization of that which are needed in the proofs. And so, you see, that's time 1, there are arrivals at the dots here. This is a discrete in time and space. When you have, and hailstones have, are here, it's on the line, and hailstones have length 2, okay? So when two hailstones intersect and they arrive at the same time, for instance, the blue hailstone, you have to break a tie, which doesn't happen in the Poisson case, and so you break this tie at random, okay? And so you see what happens here, there is no melting, so you see time 1, so there are these hailstones, you break the ties, here you break the ties this way, so time 1 is over, then you have time 2 where and the Poisson rain would bring points at the red the points of the red line, and you have a new thing which arrives and that stands on the earlier ones, okay? And this just transcribes the FIFO assumptions, okay? And so on. And you do that on the full real line And at the same time this happens, but in a Poisson way, these things melt. And the question is whether it percolates in the steady state. I mean, well, there will be a notion of time to empty, not the system. And this is where the catch is that because of the Poisson properties, they will be very far away. There will be a number of hailstones in any small interval, 0t, however small t is, that will be as large as you want. And so the system to empty, the time to empty the whole system of this hail, even whatever at whatever speed you melt, is infinity. That's it. And so therefore the whole system breakdowns, you don't have separation, and you don't have, and so it's just a picture of it. But in most of the systems, as soon as you go to the infinite case, your monotony will hold, but this property fails of separation just because of this reason. Okay. So as I said, monotony holds, but ZST, so now I'm back to the Poisson case, is infinity for all s less than t. Okay. So what it says is that so there is a max plus representation of that, so just one max plus system, which is simple. And nevertheless, it also has we have to study this one. We have some good reason, and this reason is that this is in wireless networks. So in the Euclidean plane, so you have many protocols that create an exclusion area around a transmitter. If I'm a transmitter, arrive first, and anybody would be prevented to transmit in this in my communication range for a time which is that of my transmission. So that would be sigma, the height of the hailstone, and the footprint would be, or the hailstone, the racks would be the communication exclusion area. And if I solve ties in the FIFO way, I get this problem, and think of a protocol like that holding a whole Euclidean plane. And what is now percolation, or the equivalent of stability? This is the fact that the hailstones do not grow forever and become like, I don't know, a glacier or something like that. But they melt fast enough so that you always find finite heaps of hailstones at any place. And in other ways, that we won't have percolation of the hailstone process at infinity. So what is the main result? So we need assumptions. So the system starts empty at time zero. If I call psi the diameter of a typical racks, then I assume that both sigma to the d, d is the dimension of space, and sigma are light-tailed. And under these assumptions, if I call WTX, this is the local analog of the time to empty the system. But now it's seen at location X. So if you want, this is the height of the heap, or the set of racks that intersect or contain point X. Okay? And so you remember these hailstones piling up and melting at the same time. So if I would stop the system of arrivals, which from zero times, which at time t, the system starts empty at time zero, it would take a certain time to see things melting down for point x to be free of ice. Okay, and this is WTX. Okay. Okay. Under the assumptions, there exists a positive constant lambda naught, which depends on the joint distribution of xi and sigma, or if you want, the racks and sigma. So that for any lambda less than lambda naught, the model is globally stable, meaning that for any finite sets, finite set A of RD, if I look at the joint distribution of these eights, this would be the sort of upper boundary of the heap of ice process, this thing converges weakly to a stationary limit, which is quite compatible with the fact that the maximum of the WTX would not. And that's the main difference with what we had before. Whereas for any lambda more than lambda naught, the model is globally unstable. And the thing is that, as we shall see, we have explicit positive lower bounds on lambda naught. No explicit form, unfortunately. So the idea of the proof goes as follows. We'll see how ergodic theory plays a role. So the first thing is to control the... We have a pure growth model. which is that you freeze the ground so it doesn't melt anything anymore, and you look at the speed at which this heap grows. So you see, I mean, very bad things may happen. Assume, for instance, the racks have heavy tail diameters. So a rack very far away in Paris could just cover suddenly Austin, right? And and so you see that very bad things happen. You can't. So it's why this assumption of the light tail is very important. Okay, but what we can see is that there is a pure growth model. When the ground stops melting things, such that if you are below what we call the percolation capacity of a certain Boolean model, a Boolean model would be just the arrival. You take the arrival at the time zero epsilon, okay, and you look at all these arrivals, okay. They form clumps, and you look at the union of these clumps, and so it may be that the union of this clump is already infinite. So there is, it percolates for any small arrival of epsilon, and this would happen, for instance, if the racks would not have any exponential moments. Okay, but if they have exponential moments, there exists a lattice such that by layering the thing into small times, you see things which do not percolate locally. Okay, and then we use an age-dependent branching process, which looks at, so I'm a clump, I'm sitting at Higgs. I look at the hailstones which are below me, okay? And I do that recursively. So this is a very dependent process, as you remember. So when you go backward, I mean, you have a lot of dependencies. So I go the wrong way. Yeah, so if I'm here at Higgs, and look at the things which are below me, okay, so there are all these ones which are below on the critical path here, and there will be a lot of dependencies between all the possible paths starting from here to any point there, so many common racks on the path, okay? Fine. And so, but nevertheless, we shall see that there is an age-dependent branching process, which is an upper bound, and that one can compute or evaluate using all ideas of Biggins, the time of the last birth of this branching process, age-dependent branching process. Okay, it has a linear growth, and the constant can be evaluated. Second thing is that then we will use again ergodic theory and do this backward construction on this marked point process to show that if lambda now, which is smaller than lambda c, is small enough, then the model is stable, and we'll use the same ergodic theory backward construction to do that. Okay, so these are the equations. Let's call first. Let's study the pure growth model. Let's call hx of t the eight of the heap made of all racks arrived before time t. There is no melting. Nx the Poisson point process of racks intersecting location x. Now it's a point process on the real line. Okay, it's not a Poisson rain anymore. Let's call sigma x of u, or cx of u, the canonical 8 mark process of nx. So if I look at two points, t ix, t I plus 1 x, successive points of this point process nx, this canonical point process is just a thing which is piecewise constant, which is equal to sigma I x, sigma I ci x during this interval. So just a simple way of representing things. And then you get the basic recursion, which describes the evolution or the growth of the heap. Okay, so I look at tau x of t, which is the last arrival of nx in zero t. Okay, so what is the 8 at x? So, well, this is the 8 of the last arrival intersecting x, plus the supremum over all y that belong to the hailstone footprint. Of this fellow, cx of tau x of t, and I have to take the supremum of the 8 of all the objects that are below. Okay, of course there are a few conditions because we are in transient state. It could be that there are no points of this type, and okay. And so you see something that starts being like a branching process, recursion, age-dependent branching process, because of, say, having a lifetime of an individual and the supremum of the ages of individuals that belong to something that we baptize the offspring of this fellow. Okay, the catch is that all these are very dependent. Why is it dependent? Because it may be that for two given Ys, we have the same eight, so it will be precisely the same thing. Okay, and so it's why there is work to first discretize the state space to go to the branching with types which are discrete types, discretize time, and define the upper bound of the branching process. And the basic lemma goes like this. So think of a Boolean model, namely union of a ball centered at the Poisson point process with random radii. Okay, and we look at what we call the clump containing X. So the clump is the largest union of the racks that contain point X. Okay, so it may be that there is nothing covering X, then this union is empty. Otherwise, if you have this Poisson ball, say, arriving in the plane, there will be a clump that contains X. Call it CX. So, as I said, and that's the main difficulty with this problem, is that it may be that CX is equal to CY. The clump of X may be the clump of Y. So when you go backward, you cannot just pretend it's a branching process. The other, even worse case, is that when CX is not equal to CY, then you know they are disjoint. And so independence breaks completely. And nevertheless, there is a nice technical lemma. If you take a Boolean model that does not have infinite clumps, so does not percolate, so it's Y lambda less lambda C, then there exists an extension of the probability space which carries another ID family that I call C hat Z sigma hat Z. This is already the discretized version of the problem in space. Z belongs to ZD, such that for any given X, the CX union CY is included in CX union C hat Y, where these two objects are independent. So you will do a coupling, extend the probability space, and find an upper bound branching process, age-dependent branching process. And hence the linear growth for the pure growth model, that if lambda is less than lambda C, namely we are below percolation for the discretized version, otherwise things are very bad anyway, discretized problem is such that the limb sup of the 8 at any point x is bounded from above by a function k of lambda. Lambda is the density of the Poisson rain, where k of lambda is the longest path growth in an age-dependent branching process, which can be estimated using the Begin's ideas. And now we can give a sufficient condition for the existence of a stationary regime. Take any A less than lambda C. If lambda is mean, is less than the minimum of lambda C and the quantity, so A divided by K of A, then for all X point of the Euclidean space, the weak limit of the process WTX exists and is almost surely finite. So, actually, this is again the backward construction. So I just use the shift of the point process of the Poisson rain, theta t. It's to shift everything to the left of t of this Poisson rain, shift it to the left. And we have an equation for the backward process, okay, which is the analog of the z minus n zero. Okay, this is the time to empty location X from time zero on. If I started putting hailstones from time minus T on, and I let T go to infinity, okay? And so by the same argument, I use monotonicity here, W backward is non-decreasing in T, therefore there exists a number sure limit in the backward construction. By classical ergodic theory arguments, you use the theta t invariance of some event. Wx of t is either infinity or finite almost surely. It's a classical type of argument. And the final step, which is just a very simple step, which is in the backward construction, you will assume that if this is satisfied, there is an influence coming from minus infinity for the waiting time to go to infinity. You need that there is a critical path that comes from minus infinity. Okay, but you know that the longest path on this heap is bounded from above by the longest path in an age-dependent branching process for which you have controlled the growth rate, and then you are done. Okay, and that's the way to. Okay, so I'm done with my time. So let me skip. I wanted to describe just a few things about what happens in routing. So it's future research now that I wanted to describe. So think now of packets. So I want to describe routing. Okay. So first, I would like to say that, for instance, the question that I've just asked. So. Of the stability of an infinite dimensional max plus system, so we start seeing tools, but there is no general result. Okay, for an infinite dimensional Jackson network, which has this routing, there is no non-result for the infinite dimensional case as using these ergodic theory tools, one doesn't know anything. Okay, what is important is that, so, but to understand what the general class of problem is, and I want to conclude with that to describe ongoing and future research. So this link to these wireless networks now. Now, in that case, you transmit packets from nodes or between nodes, which are nodes of a Poisson point process in the space. Okay, so these are the Poisson point processes. This is a realization of Poisson point process in the space, and this is now linked to my lecture of... when was it, in May or April? Okay. So you have a transmitter here. It broadcasts a packet. This is in a wireless network. Okay. And a certain number of nodes. So you use a protocol which is called Aloha to split the points of the point process, this Poisson point process in the plane, into transmitters or receivers. Transmitters transmit. There's a black, which is a tag transmitter, or the red. And the other one, blue or green, they have tossed a coin, which say that they do not transmit. This is what Aloha does. And they are silent. And they are potential receivers. Okay, so you transmit a packet from a tagged node, tag transmitter, this black one. And there is a certain number of nodes which will receive these packets. And this is decided by information theory. Okay, information theory will look at the set of receivers for which the signal to interference and noise ratio from the reds is less than a certain threshold. Okay, it's more than a threshold. And these are the nodes which receive. So it creates a small cluster of points which are the potential receivers of this packet. And routing, in this case, so think of each node to contain a queue. So routing is about... You are here in Austin and you want to send a packet to Paris. Okay, so you would select one of these receivers and send the packet to this fellow, and this will join the queue of packets to be transmitted by this fellow. So for instance, you could take this relay, which is the closest to Paris. Okay, and then you iterate. And here is a very simple network of queues which has all the features that would be important to tackle in this network. So first, it's infinite. Paris is far away from Austin. Okay. Second, each node has a queue where it receives packets from many nodes, which are all the transmitters of this point process. Okay. And the key thing is that service times are very much correlated. Okay. Because what is service time? So you try, perhaps nobody receives. Okay. There are no blues, then you try again until you succeed, and you will take the best one among those. Okay? And why do you perhaps fail Why is your surface time long? Because there were many nodes trying to transmit at the same time. Okay, so if surface times are big for me, they are big for somebody else. They are correlated. It's why you need ergodic theory tools. You can't be Markov in these type of things. To learn, again, about the stability of a network of queues where the service times and the routing schemes would be based on now point processes in space. And these are the quite intriguing open problems of today for this type of technique. So I had more things to tell, but I will skip all that. So routes are also using, we studied the velocity of a packet in these networks, okay, using, again, ergodic theorems, but in space now. So there is a version of a subadditive ergodic theorem that works for spatial processes. So I will not describe that, but let me conclude with the future research. So first, I would say, along these lines, there is a basic need for studying, and I explained why in the last slides. I think this is very important. So when you have big networks, the best representation of them is through something which is infinite. And you're understanding dynamics of packets in these infinite dimensional networks, okay? And currently, there are some techniques coming from particle systems that allow one to study some of these dynamics, usually under exponential assumptions, but there is no general theory for handling what I call the abstract construction, which is that based on ergodic theory, which builds these co-cycles. Then it gives the full understanding of why the steady state becomes a functional of the point process, which is a mark of this point process. Okay, so this starts being understood for Maxwell system, but the general case is still unsolved, and general Jackson network is not known either. The reasons are essentially to understand these problems are large wireless networks currently, and I think I explained that in the last slides. More generally, I think when we go in this type of object, so when you take an infinite network, you either have a sort of discretized version where you put things on the lattice, something like that, but there is always very essential in there that geometric constructs to learn how you do routing, how things are correlated. And so there is a very big need. One, you saw in the earlier lecture that one has a good understanding of spatial point process functionals using stochastic geometry. Through this type of objects, you have a good understanding of the time dynamics of these objects, but the interplay between the two, like in this last problem, is a very, very challenging line of research to understand really dynamics on random geometric objects. So I think I'll stop here and give a few references, perhaps, to conclude. So there is a series of papers with Sergey on this monotone separable thread, with the hailstone being the last one. And for the stochastic geometry part, which I had no time to describe, were the very nice phase transitions, but I described them a little bit last time. We have this monograph and a recent paper with my colleague Bartek Vlasichin and my PhD student Omid Mirsadik. So I stop here.
Results related to the FIFO, right? First in, first out. Do people consider like a kind of random serving?
Yes, situation? Or priority queues, or scheduling is a big thing in engineering.
What kind of how many of these kind of results?
So actually, many things are invariant by discipline if you just look workload. So discipline is not so important. FIFO, if you take the time to empty the system, you could swap the order and the workload in the G1 queue or in a Jackson network would be unchanged. So it would be just a relabeling of the random times that show up in the, say, max plus recursion. So scheduling is not so important here. up to area. But as soon as you move to a non-monotonic system like reentrant lines, things like that, then this is not true anymore. And scheduling is the culprit. I mean, so all these paradoxes which are there in the literature, they are very often based on non-FIFO assumptions. There are a few FIFO assumption models, but where you remember the identity of customers. So there's this literature, but typically, I mean, so all these things would be invariant by discipline in this setting. Yeah, so it's so the question is how to. So, for instance, if you would take lambda, which would be say you still want stationarity and ergodicity because all these are based on underlying is an ergodic theory construction where you do this backward scheme. And you have to argue that what you do backward is equivalent to what you would do forward. Otherwise, I mean, in that sense, yes. Because so, if you take, for instance, what is called the Cox process, namely the you have an underlying stationary process, okay, which says it's hailey or rainy, or it's not because it's dry. Okay, so and you alternate between winter and summer, something like that. So just a picture of it. Okay, but it's stationary. You take the phase of that random in such a way that this becomes stationary. Then it would be locally Poisson. So the you would have an age-dependent branching process with varying characteristics, but still stationary. And what matters in the long run is still amenable to similar constructions. So, Coxian ideas. But as soon as you go to lambda depending on T in a way which is not of this type, then stationarity is a very, very essential thing that breaks down. And so I don't know. A periodic is fine because periodic is like is Cox in.
But the lambda critical is just the average of the lambda, or
no, would
be a different.
No, it would. It's so these things are extremely nonlinear. So, for instance, think of the Maxwell system. So, it may be that in the bad time of the period, you have a very high lambda. So the system, as a sort of local Lyapunov exponent, this is above capacity. So the system grows, and then you come in a good state, and it decreases. So it's very nonlinear, very very nonlinear. So to cope with these sudden peaks, when the lambda is too high, you have really to. So it's very nonlinear in terms of the lambda. For all these systems have no good properties in terms of that. There are a few things, however, also what you could do is, rather than Poisson, you could have like Poisson cluster that will work well. So what is very important is to have some local independence to go back to a branching process. So basically the thing is, that I think in the lecture, so if we don't have the subadditive ergodic theorem to show that there is a constant, you need something specific, and so the only thing that we could find currently is this links to branching process that show naturally in the backward construction of the Maxwell system. So, but the reason is clear, is that we lack this subadditivity, so we lack the gamma naught of the first part, and all this path construction is a way to circumvent this. To avoid this difficulty. So for instance, a Poisson cluster would work well. You could keep this local local independence, and still have a branching process which is locally branching, but with characteristics which are perhaps a bit more hectic. And so, if you have my guess is that if you have a process like that with the size of the clusters which are light-tailed enough so that you can find back the same percolation threshold, and you would work the same way.
Okay, thank you very much again.